Listen and stream the all-new talk radio Freedom 106.5 for the only talk that matter.
26 minutes after 11, and we're going to jump straight into Let's Talk Cancer with the Trinidad and Tobago Cancer Society and Dr. Asante LeBlanc. Welcome, Doctor. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Carrie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? How are you doing?
I'm good, alive.
Most importantly. So I know we're going to continue talking about Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month, which is March 2023.
Correct.
So let's jump straight into it. What is colorectal cancer and how does it differ from other types of cancer?
All right. So, Carrie, as we know, cancers are named according to the organ that they affect. Mm. Your colon is really your large intestine, which has a few parts. It's from your ascending colon, transverse colon, descending colon, sigmoid colon, rectum, and then the anus is the end of the large intestine.
Right.
Colorectal cancer is cancer of anywhere up to the rectum. And then we have anal cancer, which is apart from that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So colon cancer affects any of those parts of the large intestine, which I mentioned. And it is the second most common cancer in men in Trinidad and Tobago, and the third in women in Trinidad and Tobago, right?
Wow.
And it's we're seeing younger people being affected by colon cancer, and that is something that is concerning. And therefore, we want to make sure that everyone knows signs and symptoms, understands about colorectal cancer, doesn't take certain subtle signs for granted, and gets that checkup and screening as is appropriate.
Right. And what are some of the risk factors for developing colon cancer?
Right. So some of the risk factors include, first of all, Carrie, as you heard last night, knowing your family history is key.
Mm-hmm.
For all cancers and for all diseases, knowing your family history is key. But colon cancer in particular is one of these cancers that if you have family history of colon cancer, that determines how soon we start your screening program. Mm-hmm. If you have family history of what we call polyps or familial hereditary familial polyposis, which is little pockets in the colon, you know that's important to note. If you have diverticular disease and constant crises or diverticulitis, which is infection of the diverticulate, other risk factors include a very sedentary lifestyle, poor eating habits with a lot of preserved foods. These are risk factors for colon cancer, as well as all other risk factors, generalized risk factors for cancer, which include, again, smoking, vaping, sedentary lifestyle. I like to put this in now, Carrie, because I think it's important when we look at a lifestyle disease, our stress mechanisms, poor stress coping, poor lifestyle habits on the whole, and excessive processed foods and red meat intake can be linked very loosely as risk factors to colorectal cancer.
Right. But doctor, you just spoke about smoking and vaping. Now, to my understanding and based on advertising and stuff, they say that vaping does a little harm to your body. How does that correlate with colon cancer?
Carrie, this is a whole other debate that will get me so irate, right? So the issue is, and I would like our listeners to understand and to follow us on social media, because you will see that we have a no smoking, no vaping campaign, which is actually sponsored by Scotiabank Foundation. And why is this campaign present? Is because the tobacco industry chose to manipulate the population, claiming that vaping is not harmful, claiming that vaping is a healthy alternative to smoking and making you look cool. So this manipulation has now led to another illness, another issue for us to deal with when it comes to cancer and the health of the population. Vaping is not harmless. It does still contain nicotine in some of the cartridges. It has even worse chemicals for the flavoring and the smells in these cartridges. And so it is, in fact, just as dangerous, if not more dangerous, than a cigarette. And with all cancers, smoking and vaping is a risk factor all through.
Right. Now, what are some of the signs and symptoms of colon cancer, and when should people seek medical attention?
Right. So this is where it's important for you to not be afraid of looking back in the toilet when you go to the toilet to stool and have a bowel movement or poo-poo or poop, whichever one you want to use, you know? Carrie, it's when you look back and you see that your stool, the form of your stool, is it good pebbles? Is it long and well-formed? Is there an indentation on the stool? Is there a different color? Is it not a greenish-brown, but it's looking more dark? Are you seeing blood in the stool or blood in the toilet bowl itself? Are you having alternating periods of constipation with diarrhea? And I want to explain that constipation is not going to the toilet once a day. Constipation is when you miss a day or more of bowel movement and you don't have regular bowel movements. And in some cases, you strain to pass that stool, right? That is what constipation is, a change in your habits and the form and the effort for passing stool. Therefore, if you see a change along with excessive bloating, pain in the lower abdomen, maybe excessive gas, maybe you feel like if you're full, carry, and when you go to the toilet, you feel like if not enough come out, you're still feeling full. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You see blood. You're just not feeling well. Weight loss, you can't explain. Loss of appetite, energy loss, so feeling fatigued. These are all signs and symptoms of colorectal cancer.
But Doc, these signs and symptoms that you just laid for us there, is it that it have to be happening for a period of time or?
Right. Love your question. So, Carrie, if you wake up today and that happening just today, then you watch it. But generally, if you see that happening over a month, at least a month, you should go to your doctor and because you need to look. Sometimes that's, let's face it, Carrie. We have different influences on our bowel, right? We could choose to decide not to drink our water, not have our fruits and our fibers and well-balanced diet 1 week. You know what I mean?
Right.
Carnival just didn't go on a fat diet, who didn't do whatever. So you change your guts, right? So you have to look at the patterns, what may have influenced. But if you're eating healthy with a balanced diet, exercising, and all of a sudden you see these changes, then you need to know your body. So also that is so important. And you heard that last night as well at the launch, where we have to know our body and understand your body. And if even if I tell you wait a month, Carrie, if after a week you're not feeling right, then go to the doctor. Don't say Dr. LeBlanc, say wait a month, you know.
Yeah.
Go to the doctor and let them at least have. Carrie V came in and Carrie said this is what she's feeling. And then we move on. Right. You understand? So that is important. And that's what I want our listeners to understand. That we, the doctors, don't know how you feel it, right? That's what a symptom is. A symptom is what a patient is feeling. So when you come to us, you need to explain to us, and you should, this is why it's important to know how you go to the bathroom, know how your body usually feels, so that you, when you explain it, it's not like very generalized, well, I don't know now, well, I don't know now, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, I notice over this week, this is what is happening. When I add XYZ, is there undigested food in your stool? Is, you know, look at those things. Pay attention to your body, because the more information you give to the doctor from the onset, the more workup, the more tools they have, so to speak, with the information to know which direction to go in for your work.
Yeah. But how is colon cancer diagnosed, Doc?
Right. So colon cancer, the screening for colon cancer is done. One way is a FIT, which is called a fecal immunochemical test, which looks for blood markers in stool. And that test, we do it at the Trinidad Tobago Cancer Society for $135. And that is a cheaper test that can be done on the population. And if it's positive, we then do the gold standard screening test, which is the colonoscopy. Yeah?
Right.
Colonoscopy can be done. We usually start screening for cancers between 45 and 50 years of age. However, if you have a relative, a first-degree relative that died from colon cancer or has colon cancer and was diagnosed before the age of 40, then we start your screening earlier for colon cancer.
Ah, okay. Now, I know there are treatment options for colon cancer. What are some of them and how effective are they?
So that's the beauty about the research and the advance in treatment for cancers. And I can tell you that we are seeing better responses to treatment with colorectal cancer. However, Carrie, the key is early detection.
Right.
All cancers, the key is early detection. Because with early detection, you get a better chance of survivorship. Your treatment regime may be less aggressive. You understand? In some cases, and therefore it's a better outcome.
Right.
So that is why we do this program, Carrie, because we want people to reconnect with their bodies, reconnect with their health situation and their profile, get those checkups done, the screening done, understand your body so that when warning signs appear and early signs appear, you're on top of that game and you've been proactive as the best weapon we have against this horrible disease called cancer.
Right. And I know these treatments, they may or may not have side effects. How can they be managed generally?
The side effects of the treatment?
Yeah.
Carrie, you know, we talk about this. So this is... So we use different things. There are medical therapies that help you with the side effects, which there are different medications that we can use, as well as complementary therapies that can be used in tandem with the treatment, such as acupuncture, you know, different teas, such as, you know, to name a few, you have ginger, chamomile, tulsi. So depending on the side effect, there are therapies that can be used. The reason I wouldn't tell you, Carrie, blanket, use this, use that, is because every patient is an individual. And this program should not be used as a substitute for a visit or consultation with one's medical practitioner or team on call. You are affected by cancer. This is a guide. And this is for us to just open the eyes, open your thirst for knowledge, and to remind you that the Trinidad and Tobago Cancer Society provides the screening that you need and helps you with those tools and has other services to help you along the way. And we are here to help and also listen, Carrie, to what the population needs, because we are your voice against cancer. And based on what we hear, we will know how we need to continue our fight, because we know we continue in the fight.
Mm-hmm. So we have a message on WhatsApp here. Hi, Carrie. Hi, doctor. Can you please ask the doctor? I keep getting a pain on my left side colon. I went to the doctor 2 weeks ago and did an ultrasound. The sonographer did all the checks but didn't say anything about my left side pain. The doctor said, okay, well, if it had any problems with the colon, it would have shown up, but I was not satisfied.
And I agree, you should not be satisfied. You need to return to your physician and ask if there's any other imaging that can be done. The reason being, an ultrasound is very subjective and dynamic. And in cases such as this, if the patient is still not feeling settled, a CT scan is recommended.
Is recommended. We have a call here. Let's see who's there. Hi, good morning, you're live.
Yeah, good morning, ma'am. And good morning to you. Is the doctor, right?
Yes.
Yes, good morning, doctor. A question quickly. I did a stool test recently because I had some blood issues, serious blood issues, right? And they did also a stool test. And I'm seeing a hematologist right now, but I just asking this question. I mean, they haven't given me no positive word because they say the last resort now is a blood marrow test. And the doctor was planning to tell me that, well, they will look into it, and when they do that test, they know if it's some form of cancer. Is it possible, right? Because my blood count is actually 4.8. I'm driving, walking. They banned me from all that, but I had a lip. 1.2 is the red, white one, and they're dropping. I take 5 pints of blood already. So the question is, I come out to ask them if they think it's some form of cancer. They say they cannot tell me that really, because all the rest of the tests they do is showing nothing like cancer so far. But the only test that could be done now is the bone marrow test. So listen, Ofe, I know I'm on the right track, but I still have to your advice in that you are the cancer specialist. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you know, I definitely think he is on the right track, but he does need to be worked up properly. And with a hemoglobin of 4.8, he can't do much because your oxygenation is low. So, Carrie, he needs that test sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And so if he's listening, if you can't get it done in the public sector, I would advise you to consider the private sector.
Private side.
Looking for a hematologist to perform that operation for you, that procedure, the bone marrow biopsy. But please don't hesitate. There are a few of them around. You can, there's Dr. Humphrey, there's Dr. Capaldeo, and there's Dr. Charles in the country, in this part of the island, which is the northwest aspect of the island.
Mm.
So you can always contact Kerry and we can provide you with the numbers for those offices.
We're gonna All right, we get on the next call. Let's see who's there. Hi, good morning.
Yes. You're live? Yes, ma'am. I got cut off here. I wanted one more thing to bring forward.
Sure, no problem.
The doctor, I'm seeing a hematologist in the south area. I'm from the south. She's very efficient, Dr. Mohamed, and she's doing a good job, I believe. But one thing, you use a word there, which is very confusing, because this happened to me just from the last week in Christmas. This started to happen with me. I'm a blood donor. I give about 50 times already. It was very strange. And it only started December, the last week. But what I'm saying, all through what I'm going through, from 4.8, 5.8, when I take blood, it goes back down in 2 weeks. And my oxygen level was 99 and 100 every single time. And even the doctors plainly tell me, they come out plainly and tell me, this is confusing. Because my oxygen level has been 99 to 100. I have no problem breathing, sleeping. When they do the lungs tested, everything is good. So that's the confusing part. So I'll listen here off.
Don't listen off.
Okay.
Listen,
okay.
What is happening is that if you are at rest, if your body has compensated to that level of hemoglobin, then your SpO2, which is your oxygen concentration at that time, may be normal. So if you start to exercise and do excessive exercise, that is when it may dip. So when I say your oxygen level, I mean with an hemoglobin of 4.8, and don't get me wrong, medicine is never 2 + 2 = 4. The majority of persons should not be able to perform exercise at that hemoglobin level. But if your body has compensated to that level, then it will allow you to do it. You understand?
So that, yes, I understand, doctor. I understand that very clearly. So
you probably have been a very healthy person.
Yes.
Hence, reason your body has compensated and is giving some confusion.
And you know, doctor, what you're saying there, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just tuned into the radio. What you're just saying there, my sister lives in the States, and her doctor, she went by her doctor with the report. And honestly, the doctor said the exact thing you say. My body is physically well and it compensates. So but he also said, the doctor in the foreign, I need to do that blood marrow, which is important. So what you said was the exact thing he said also. So I'm just listening from different views of doctors, specialists now. Thank you.
Because eventually your body will decompensate. And that is when the fit will hit the shan, right? Mm. So we want to make sure it doesn't hit it. So you do need to get those tests done. We applaud you because you are obviously leading a very healthy lifestyle and your body is very strong, but you can't take it for granted. You know, at some point we run out of money in our overdraft, right? So we need to get that checked out as soon as possible.
All right, guys. Don't forget, you can call us at 627-3223, 625-2257, or you can even send a WhatsApp message on 306-1065. So, Dr. LeBlanc, how can people reduce their risk of developing colon cancer?
Being proactive about your health, being proactive about what you put into your bodies food-wise, understanding, Carrie, as you saw last night when they spoke about pesticides, understanding the type of pesticides are using, understanding the quality of food that we have access to, reading our labels, using our local produce, but good local produce, excess stress coping, effective sleep, knowing your family history, and getting screened.
Mm.
No smoking, no vaping, no excessive alcohol intake. Look at what you're eating. I am not a totalitarian in terms of don't eat meat at all. It's a personal decision, right? But you do have to look at the quality of food and animal products that we are consuming today.
Yeah.
And therefore, I say, think about it wisely, because as you make your decisions, you have to also make sure that whatever route you take, that you're getting the essential nutrients as needed for your body. And remember, every person is an individual. But I would like you not to give up. Don't take life for granted. We know our health is our wealth. But most importantly, Carrie, don't be stressed out about it. Don't go crazy. Mm. Let us try to do our best. But remember that life is short. And so our guilty pleasures, you and I discussed this last night, right? Just a glass of red wine every once in a while. But if you excess it, if you go overboard, that's the problem. So it's about moderation and balance and getting screened and educated about all these concepts. Yes.
Now, Doc, I know that an exercise play an important role in our everyday life. But how does diet and exercise play? What role it plays in preventing colon cancer?
Because it's a lifestyle disease. And so diet and exercise are the cornerstones of treating any lifestyle disease. Say cancer is a lifestyle disease. It's grouped with diabetes, hypertension, obesity, cholesterol, syndrome X. That is what this is about. Mm-hmm. You understand? So that is where, you see, just like we spoke to that gentleman, he was having a good lifestyle. Therefore, your body is ready. You understand? Your body is prepared for anything. But also, having a healthy lifestyle allows your machinery of cell division, of programmed cell death, to function properly. And therefore, if your body gets an assault by a radioactive compound or, you know, any carcinogen or a gene is turned on, then more than likely with a healthy body, your body may repair it before it develops into cancer.
Yeah.
Not always. You know where I'm coming from? So what a healthy lifestyle does is help to prevent or promote the machinery of our body to work as effectively and efficiently as possible. And even if we do get diagnosed with cancer, a healthy lifestyle gives you a big jump start to treatment, to survivorship, and to being a healthy person overall.
Nice. Now, to close off our show, Doctor, what advice do you have for the people who may be afraid or hesitant to seek medical attention or even talk about their colorectal cancer diagnosis?
Don't be afraid. And I beg you, do not think a diagnosis, it should equate death, right? Don't be afraid. The Trinidad Burial Society is here. We have counseling. We have survivor groups. We will help you however we can. Don't be afraid of going to your doctor. Don't be afraid of getting that checkup. But just, you know, make a change. Just wake up one day and let it be that day that you change. Because it's just small changes we ask in that have such a huge impact on your health profile. And so we ask you one day at a time, one step at a time, make those changes. Carrie, I can't tell someone from today to tomorrow, quit smoking now, but make that change in your mind. I can't tell someone, stop eating this now. Make that subtle change but know that it has to happen. Know the result that we're expecting, our end goal, and manifest it, and let us all be healthy.
Yeah. All right, Dr. DeBlas, thank you so much. Join us next week, Thursday, same time, same place, on Freedom 106.5 FM to talk more about cancer. Thank you so much, Doctor.
Thanks, Carrie, and take care.
Have a good one. Bye.
Get to exercise, Carrie.
Yes, okay. I will run up and down the stairs. Thank you so much.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.